Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 19 through 29. Today is part 3 as we finish out this section. We're studying the three amens of Jesus. English translations will translate it verily, verily, or truly, truly. Those are different Greek words. That's the word alethos. This Greek word is the word amen, which is where we get the word amen from. That basically means of a truth. When Jesus repeats it twice, he's emphasizing that this is absolute, inconcrete truth, never to be changed, and absolute. We've taken verses 19 through 23, and we'll read through there again and use that as our introduction. Remember that Jesus healed the man at the pool of Bethesda and told him to carry his bed. When the Jewish leaders saw him carrying his bed, he said, "Why are you carrying your bed on the Sabbath?" And he said, "The one who healed me, he told me to carry my bed." Later on, the man found out that it was Jesus who healed him and told him to take his bed, and he went and told the religious leaders. They were seeking Jesus because he was breaking the Sabbath day. And when they found him, they said to him, "You're breaking the Sabbath day." Jesus said, "My Father is working until now, and I am working," making himself equal to God. So the Jews sought to kill him, not just because he was breaking the Sabbath day, but because he made himself equal to God. So the three amens of Jesus, what he's doing is he is responding to this indictment against him. The very first word of verse 19, apokrinato, is not the normal form of the word for to answer. Apokrithē is the word for normal answer. Jesus is responding to an accusation, almost a legal form, that he is committing blasphemy and that they were seeking to kill him under the laws of blasphemy. He's answering that charge. Therefore, Jesus answered and said to them, of a truth, amen, amen. I say to you that the Son is not able to do one thing from himself that is independent, unless what he should see the Father doing. Now we have four gars. The word gar in Greek denotes reason he's giving for this. For what? That one, that is the Father, should be doing. These things the Son is doing likewise. Equal. Whatever the Father is doing, the Son is doing the same. Equality. For here's the second gar, for the Father loves the Son and is demonstrating or pointing out all things which he himself is doing, present tense. And greater works than these he will show to him in order that you yourselves might marvel. For just as the Father is raising the dead and making people alive. This is a present tense verb, which means as the Father right now is raising people up and making them alive. That's salvation. As he is raising them up and making them alive, so also the Son is making alive whom he wills. The last gar, for not even the Father is judging not even one thing, but has given all judgment to the Son. Purpose? In order that everyone might honor the Son just as they are honoring the Father. Closing statement. The one not honoring the Son, the word honoring is a participle, the one who is not in a continuous state or habit of honoring the Son is not honoring the Father who sent him. So equality. Jesus said if you're not honoring the Son, you're automatically not honoring the Father because they're equal. Now for the second amen in verse 24. Amen, amen, I say to you. Notice the translation. The one hearing my word. The word hearing is a participle. It's very important for the translation of the text, as many people just say, if you hear the word and believe, you're saved. I say to you that the one who is hearing my word constantly, not just occasionally, the one who is continually hearing my word and believing, another participle that shows habit of life continuously, but not believing in the one who sent me, but believing the one who sent me. That is believing what the Father has said about the Son. It's not believing in the one who sent him, but believing the one who sent him. Has eternal life. And is not coming into judgment, but has been transformed out of death into life. So the second amen, Jesus is saying that the one who is continually hearing my word and is continually believing the one who sent Jesus has eternal life. And secondly, he is not coming into judgment, but rather, perfect tense, has already passed, transferred, passed from death into life. It is interesting that Jesus would mention in this text, because in when we get into chapter 8, he will tell them, the reason that you do not belong to me is because you do not have God's word abiding in you. One of the fruits and characteristics of somebody that belongs to Christ is their association with his word. You cannot separate Jesus from his word. Jesus said one of the indications and one of the characteristics of somebody that belongs to Christ is they continually are hearing his word. That's not something that a human being does. That's something that God's Spirit produces. And that's another sign within a believer's life. Somebody says, I'm a believer in Christ. Well, that means that you've got God's Spirit dwelling in you. What is God's Spirit producing? Is God's Spirit producing in you a hunger for His Word? Does God's Spirit minister to you when you hear the Word? Is He constantly driving you towards the words of Christ? We believe in Christ, but the words of Christ teach us about Him. We grow in Him through His Word. So God's Spirit is going to be actively guiding a person, because we don't have the natural hunger. Romans chapter 3, Paul says that the person who is lost, who does not belong to Christ, he does not understand the things of Christ. As a matter of fact, he's not interested. He doesn't seek out the things of the Lord. Even if we have to be forced to do it by the Holy Spirit, that's the sign that God's Spirit is in us. But for somebody to say, well, I'm a Christian, I belong to the Lord, never have any hunger for the Word, no desire for the Word, God's Spirit's not dealing with me, He's not ministering God's Word to me, I have no interest. Humanly, that's the way we are, but with God's Spirit there, God's Spirit is constantly driving us to the Word. Peter said in 2 Peter 3:18, we are those who grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's God's chosen way that the persuasion and ministry of His Spirit should touch the believer's heart, change and transform the believer's life through the hearing of the Word. Not the study of the Bible as a textbook, but as God's Spirit takes the truths of God's Word, God's Spirit makes them alive. It is interesting that the Lord shared with us here in verse 24 that it is of a truth The characteristic of the one who has eternal life is the one who is continually hearing His word and continually believing the one who sent Him. Again, after establishing in verses 19 through 23 the equality between the Father and the Son, the Lord is saying you can't separate the two. They're equal. They're individual, but they are equal. The person who says, we believe in God the Father, but we believe that Jesus was just a prophet or a teacher or a rabbi. Equal to God? No. Then they have refused the testimony of the Father. And you say, well, what testimony did he give? Later on, we'll see in chapter 14, right before Jesus goes to the cross, he tells his disciples, I am not doing the work. The Father who is in me, He does the work. So that if you believe what the Father is doing through me, you believe the Father. But, and we'll see next week that Jesus is going to say, I don't even testify concerning myself. That's a message all in and of itself. There's somebody greater than me that gives testimony concerning me. Whether they receive His testimony concerning the Son or not will depend whether they belong to Christ and will receive Christ. So the one who is continually hearing my word and who's continually believing the one who sent me, this one has eternal life and is not coming into judgment, but has passed or has been transformed from out of death into life. The person that belongs to Christ has already, he is not coming presently into judgment, but has already been transformed, has already passed from death into life, and they have currently eternal life. The third amen in verse 25. Amen, amen, I say to you, that an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and the ones who have heard shall live. So we've had him establish his equality with God. We've had him share the salvation of the person who is associated with him continuously. And now he talks about the future. He says, the hour is coming and now is, when dead people, physically dead people, are being raised. But notice the characteristic here. That the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and the ones who have heard shall live. How can dead people hear? That's interesting. How could Lazarus, in John chapter 11, who's been dead for a couple of days, how can he hear and obey the voice of Christ? Except for the fact that Christ called him out. It is the voice of the Lord. It says in the text, the one who hears the voice of the Lord, so there's a response there. But there's no spirit. Their life, when they were raised from the dead like Lazarus, their spirit came back into their body. They were raised from the dead because Jesus' voice made it happen. The power of God made it happen. And it was all a demonstration of the fact that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. People who are saved respond to the voice of Christ. But we're dead. We're spiritually dead. How can we respond to the voice of Christ? He makes us alive. He gives us spiritual life. Not because we have any life, spiritual life in us, but because He sees the condition of our heart. I shared with you my testimony during the first hour. I didn't know I needed Christ. I didn't know what receiving Christ was. I didn't know anything about salvation. But God's Spirit had been preparing my heart for 9 months in hearing the Word, which I didn't understand. And at a certain time in history, God's Spirit came upon me and saved me. beyond my mental understanding. One, I didn't even prompt it. I didn't even pray a prayer. But I knew who he was and I knew what he was doing. I knew exactly what had happened to me. Because God's Spirit brought back some of the living words. Oh, this is what he was talking about. Oh, this is... I can remember that. So it is interesting. It is God's Spirit that makes us alive. Now, in verses 19 through 23, we're told that the Father is raising people from the dead and making them alive, and Jesus is doing that. Equality. That's also the language of salvation. We are raised out of the spiritual dead. What a beautiful picture of salvation by grace through faith and not of works. Picture of a person who is physically dead. How much faith can they have? If they had faith, they'd get up. Spiritually, if I had faith, while being dead in my trespasses and sin, what spiritual life do I have? I have none. I'm dead to the things of God. It's a response to His voice, because His voice calls us. Remember from Matthew chapter 11 in our article last week, the Lord calls us. He says, "Come unto me." We are the called of Jesus Christ because we have responded to His call. Now, how did I respond to His call? Jesus said in John chapter 10, "I am the good shepherd, and my sheep know my voice, and they hear it, and they respond." I didn't know I was one of His sheep. I didn't know my heart wanted Him. I didn't even know I needed Him. So what happened at salvation is, my heart responded to the voice of Christ. He raised me from the spiritual dead and made me alive when He gave me His Spirit. Well, in the future, the same thing is going to happen physically. Our bodies will be in the grave. One day, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that the Lord's going to come, the bodies will be raised up. They will be changed in the twinkling of an eye into a spiritual body, and that will be our habitation or dwelling forever. Now, what formula do I have to do? What teachings do I have to practice to make that happen? I could never do anything to make that happen. It's all going to happen at the voice of Christ. It's His Word. You see the association all the way through? It's the association with Jesus Christ the Son, with the Father, equality. That makes the Lord's Word God's Word. All judgment has been given to the Son. All power has been given to the Son. And in the future, there's going to be a resurrection, both of the living and the dead, those who belong to Christ and those who do not belong to Christ. Everybody's going to be raised up. So even now when people say, "I don't want anything to do with Christ." Well, you will. Now when I die, I'm going to stay in the grave and there is no life after the grave. Well, if it's up to us, that's probably true. But the Lord's going to interrupt a lot of people sleeping. And He's going to raise them up from the dead. Look what He says. Verse 26, reason, "For just as the Father has life in Himself, in the same manner He gave also to the Son to have life in Himself. And He gave authority to Him, and to execute judgment, because He is the Son of Man. Now do not marvel at this, because an hour is coming, in which all of the ones who are in the tombs will hear His voice, and they will come out. The ones who have done the good things into a resurrection of life, and the ones who have practiced corrupt things into a resurrection of judgment." So both those who belong to Christ and those who do not belong to Him are going to be raised up. And who's going to raise them up? His voice. That's how powerful His voice is. That's how powerful His Word is. I'm not talking about ink on a page. I'm talking about the power of the truth of Christ when ministered by the Spirit of God is very powerful. It raises the spiritual dead. It raises the physical dead. So everybody must go through Christ. Everybody must face Christ. He is the judge. The Father doesn't even judge one thing. The Son does. And one day the Son is going to raise everybody up and everybody will be faced. And it's kind of interesting because from here on in, the presentation will be about a person's response to Jesus Christ, but the characteristic will always be in association with His Word. It's very important. He will be telling people from here on in, why do you not believe? It's because you will not receive My Word. You do not belong to Me, because had you belonged to Me, you'd be keeping My Word. It's a characteristic. It's a fruit. It's a sign that a person belongs to Christ. Now, before I came to know the Lord, this book was just... I used to carry a Bible around in my suitcase because my mother gave it to me. When I left home, she goes, here, take this. So I kept it in my suitcase. I might as well put a rabbit's foot on my belt, you know, because I thought, well, you carry your Bible around. It's good luck. I even took it out and tried to read it once. I started with Matthew and started reading the genealogies. Yeah, that was exciting. That really turned me on to the things of the Lord. I thought to myself, it's just a history book. It's just a religious manual. I didn't read it anymore. But once the Spirit of God came into me, it was God's Spirit that gave me the hunger. It was God's Spirit that drove me to His Word, because it is God's chosen way that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's His chosen way. But the persuasion of His Spirit is there to minister and to change and to transform as we hear His Word. He makes us alive. From beginning to end, it is all the Word of God. Not just, when I say Word of God, I'm talking about the truth that's represented in the Bible. Because everybody has a different translation. It's the truth that's established by God's Word that God's Spirit takes and saves people and changes and transforms people. It's power, because the Holy Spirit is doing the work. I've been in times where I've been in my daily reading and come across the genealogies, especially when you get into 2 Chronicles. Good grief. We're talking about chapter after chapter after chapter of genealogies. And just by reading it, God's Spirit used that to convict me and to minister to my heart about different things. It's His sovereign grace. You could read the genealogy. In fact, somebody told me after I got saved, they said, remember this, Bill, which I didn't for 30 years. Remember this, Bill, that if God wants to save somebody and they're in the room with a barking dog, they're going to get saved. They'll be ready. God can use a donkey. God can use a dog. How does that make you feel if you've been called to preach the gospel? You know, if God can use a donkey, He can use anybody. But it's true. God can use whatever He wants in any way He wants to minister to a person's heart. He moves sovereignly and powerfully, but it's by His Spirit, by His grace and mercy. It has nothing to do with us. It has nothing to do with any formulas. And as I study this text, I realize that when Jesus saved me, God saved me. That when Jesus came into my heart, I received all the fullness of who God is. Paul said in Colossians chapter 2:9 that in Christ is all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. When I received the Lord, I received all that God is. When I realized that this is the one who, not only through Him all the universe was created, but all things are held together. This is the one who makes people alive and raises people out of the spiritual and physical dead. This is the one who will judge all and everyone will stand before him. I won't have to say, oh, you're an angel, or you're God the Father. Well, I belong to Jesus. I got my card here somewhere, but I belong to Jesus, okay? I'm going to be standing in front of the one who knows me and the one whom I know. And I don't need to try to persuade him. There will be some who will stand before him, as Jesus said, and he says, there'll come a day when you'll stand before me and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do many things in your name? Didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we perform many miracles? And Jesus will say to them, depart from me, for I never knew you. See, it's not what we do. It's not what we participate in that makes us Christians. It's not even whether we know him. We use that phrase, do you know the Lord? Well, both Jesus and Paul use the phrase, we don't know him, but he knows us. The Lord will say to me, enter in because I know you. Not because Bill knows Jesus, but because Jesus knows Bill. And I will belong to him because he knows me. I'm one of his sheep. Not because I make some kind of presentation to try to convince him that I believe. This is the Jesus that we know. This is the one who lives within our hearts. It's not part of God, all of God. The judge, the authority, the power. And after he saves us and raises us from the spiritual dead, he changes us and transforms our lives as we spend time with him in his word. Because that's where God's Spirit directs us. Because that's his chosen way. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the words that come out of his mouth. Not because they're on paper, but because they're living and alive and powerful. But because it was the voice of Jesus that raised us from the spiritual dead. And it is the voice of Jesus that one day will raise our physical bodies. And one day everyone will confess that Jesus is Lord. But some to a resurrection of life and to others a resurrection of judgment. We thank you that you are our Lord and you are the Lord of the universe. And that you know us better than we know ourselves. You know what we need. You know what's best to be done and how to do it. Because again, you know us better than we know ourselves. We thank you that we have the Lord God Almighty, living in us and with us, who sustains us and keeps us in all of your ways. You are the faithful one to us, out of your grace expressed to our life. We thank you. We pray that you would help us to not just learn these truths mentally, but realize them spiritually. That we have the living Christ who created all things, who holds all things together, the one who is Lord of all, with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Cause us to turn into the inner man, the inner person where Christ dwells, for life, peace, and joy. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.